All right, good evening. I'm going to teach sitting down tonight. My ankle's hurting when I stand up for very long, so I'm going to do that. Hope you don't mind. All right, turn to Mark chapter 4 tonight. Mark chapter 4. I did a series of lessons, it was about 3 years ago, on Wednesday nights from the parable of the sower, and I just really wanted to do them again and change it up a little bit for us on Sunday nights. I won't do as many lessons as I did then. I think I did 5 lessons then. I'm going to try to do this in 3. And pray for us as we go through this. I think that there's just so much. I've always, when I'm reading through the Bible and I get to the parable of the sower, I just love it. Because it's one of those parables that's like every time you read it, it's like you just get so much more out of it, so much practical application. And it's a very important parable. Jesus stresses how important it is because he actually says in chapter 5 or chapter 4 there, and verse 13, he said to them, "Do you not understand this parable?" He said, "How then will you understand all the parables?" And so, obviously, this is a really important parable. Jesus is like, if you don't get this one, you're not going to get the rest of them. And so there's something in this parable that, when we understand it, it somewhat unlocks the other parables. We see the spiritual nature. Because Jesus is very clear, because not only does he give us this parable, but he very much explains it. He doesn't do that with all the parables. But he does it with this one. So that I think that when we come to other parables, we can better understand them. We get what he's saying. Let's read this, Mark chapter 4, verse 1 through 9. We'll talk a little bit tonight about Jesus teaching by parables, and then we'll get to the first seed that is sown by the wayside. We're reading tonight from the New King James Version. Again, he began to teach by the sea, and a great multitude was gathered to him, so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea, and the whole multitude was on the land facing the sea. Then he taught them many things by parables, and said to them in his teaching, "Listen, behold, a sower went out to sow, and it happened, as he sowed, that some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it. Some fell on stony ground, where it did not have much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, because it had no root, it withered away. And some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. But other seed fell on good ground, and yielded a crop that sprang up, increased and produced, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. And he said to them, "He who has ears, let him hear." Let's pray. Father, help us tonight as we come to this portion of your word and seek to study it once again. I thank you so much for it. I love studying this parable. And I pray, Lord, that we would see the many applications, Lord, as we do ministry, as we talk to others about the Word of God, and that we'll see the great applications, Lord, in regards to how we receive the Word of God in our own personal life. Lord, there's so much to learn from this, because how we relate to you in your Word tells us everything, tells us so much about our relationship to Christ. And Lord, so as we look at this and we think about how we receive your word into our life, Lord, it is definitely a sign to how close we are to you and how we are relating to you in our life. And so help us to understand that connection. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, there's so much to learn from this. Really, what made me do this several years ago, I remember listening to somebody on one of the radio stations, and he was talking about doing ministry, and he was actually talking about this parable, and he was talking about different ways, you know, people respond to the Word of God, and it just got me thinking. And so I went back and started studying this parable again, and it's just so obvious that some of the teachings here in regard to this parable tells us a whole lot about how people receive the Word of God, about us doing ministry and sharing the Word of God. And it tells us a lot about ourselves and about our receiving of the Word of God. Now, so we're going to take this slow, a little faster maybe than what we did a few years ago on Wednesday nights. But let's take it prayerfully, and the Lord help us to see some things in us tonight that can be a blessing to us, and as we do ministry, as we share the Word of God, and as we receive the Word of God as well. Now, first of all, let's talk a little bit about Jesus teaching by parables. Jesus teaching by parables. A parable was something that Jesus would take something that was commonly known, familiar, and to teach a spiritual truth. And he did that all the time. Jesus loved to teach in parables. A parable had a way of revealing and teaching truth by using something people could see. While at the same time, a parable was hidden to some people that would actually hear it. Look in chapter 4 there in verse 10 and 11. But when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parable, and he said to them, "To you has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But to those who are outside, all things come in parables." I think Jesus is saying, right now, I'm speaking in parables, but you need to know this. Like, while you're kind of struggling here to try to figure out this parable, this is how every lost person hears me, as in parables. He says, all things come in parables. And so, yeah, they were struggling to get this. Why are you speaking in parables? That this cryptic, almost language, that hard for us to grasp and understand. And so there's an immediate learning there. He's saying, you know what, that's how people hear me all the time. And you know, that's something to remember for us, isn't it? When we talk to lost people, we talk in language that's very familiar to us, but they don't get it. And so let's make sure that when we are talking, one, that we're talking plain. We're not using language that people understand. But at the same time, something to learn from this is this, that you, when it comes to understanding the Word of God, the whole Word of God, it takes a spiritual nature. We're taught that in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. The natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God. And so I still come to certain parables, and I'm like, this is tough. Well, you know what? That's the way all lost people are with the Word of God. They don't get it at all. And so it's a good reminder to me. And so he said, but to those who are outside, all things come in parables. Basically saying, everything's a mystery. Everything's a mystery. Because he says, I've been given to you to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But listen, all things are mystery to those that are outside of the kingdom of God. But so Jesus taught by parables. Now, when we read this, we think, well, he does this, and he's wanting some people to hear, understand, but then others not. Others not. And sometimes that might make us a little uncomfortable. You know, look at Matthew 13. Look at Matthew 13. I kind of like teaching sitting down. I feel more relaxed like this. Matthew 13, let's start with verse 10. And the disciples came and said... Now this is where he just gave the parable earlier, but we have more in depth here in Matthew 13 on why Jesus is teaching in parables. Just a little more to it here in Matthew 13. Disciples came and said to him, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" He answered and said to them, "Because it has been given to you to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but to them it has not been given. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Therefore, I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, 'Hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull, their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn so that I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For assuredly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. Folks, when we read words like that, it should make us very thankful tonight if we can see and understand the Word of God. When you read those words of Christ, you should look at that, and because Jesus says, blessed are you. And we are blessed tonight. If we can open up the Word of God and understand it at all, we are blessed by the Lord. How amazing is that? But Jesus says here, teaches here in Matthew 13, He teaches that they have closed their eyes. They have closed their eyes. You know, some people just don't want to see. That's our old nature at work, of course. Sometimes we just don't want to see. Some people, you can't make them see, right? Because they don't want to see. Now, we talk about that in spiritual things, but sometimes that's the truth with other things. Sometimes people just don't want to see certain things. And that's the way a lot of people are with the Word of God. They didn't want to see. They didn't want to understand what Christ was saying. He said they were dull of hearing. They're just tired of hearing it. You know, when we come to the Scriptures, we have to make sure that we are not like that. That we are not the dull of hearing. That we come to the Scriptures and we say, Lord, open my eyes that I might see. Lord, I want to see. You know, think about that. When you come to God's Word, what are some of the things you pray about? What are some of the things you do when you come to God's Word? Do you pray before you read? Do you say, Lord, help me to see. Help me to understand. We should do that because we should be asking the Lord to help us to understand it. We're not just reading the Bible to make ourselves feel better because we went through a spiritual exercise of reading the Bible. When we come to the Bible, do we really want to see? Do we really want to understand? It says they couldn't see and understand, so they were dull of hearing. I mean, when we come and sit down in church, are we dull of hearing? Are we just kind of, you know, are we really listening? Are our senses sharpened? Or are they dull? Do we really want to hear? We just want to get through it, get over with, get it done. Are we really wanting to hear? And so when we come to God's house, let's not go through the motions. That we pray the Lord would reveal to us. Now, if you can read these parables and see, you know, the spiritual meaning, then you have a lot to be thankful about tonight. I mean, when you read now, right now, when you read the parable of the sower, do you get it? It's pretty simple, isn't it? It really is pretty simple. Now, there's a lot of truths there. We keep getting more truths out of it. But its basic principle is really simple. To you, it is. Go to someone lost, read them just the parable, and see if they get it. They're not going to get it. Folks, we have so much to be thankful. Our eyes are blessed, Jesus says, for our eyes see, our ears are blessed, for they hear. Jesus taught in parables to hide those things from those who were dull of hearing. They didn't want to see. They didn't want to hear. And at the same time, to teach those that have had their eyes opened spiritual truths. So at the same time, Jesus is giving it to people. It's hidden from them because they really don't want to hear or see. And at the same time, He's revealing things to us. But all the Word of God is like that to some extent. He says there in Matthew 13, because it is given to us to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. He didn't say, because you're smart enough to see the kingdom or because you've done enough to see the kingdom. It's been given to you to know the mystery of the kingdom. In the Bible, there's a lot of mysteries. You know, a mystery is something that you can't know. A mystery isn't something that you can't know or understand, but a mystery is something that you would never know unless God revealed it to you. So we can know mysteries. There's a lot of things that are labeled as mysteries in God's Word. There's the mystery of the kingdom right here. Paul said that he spoke the wisdom of God in a mystery. There's the mystery. The Bible talks about the mystery of us being changed at the coming of Christ. Behold, I show you a mystery. There's the mystery of the church. A lot of people don't get that. The mystery of the iniquity, talking about the man of sin. The mystery of the gospel, the mystery of godliness, the incarnation of Christ, the mystery of Babylon. All of these things are actually labeled as mysteries in God's Word. And not that we understand all of it in detail, but a lot of that we get. A lot of it we get, and I understand we're growing more and learning more, but the world doesn't get that. A lost person doesn't get those things. And how do you know about such things? Why can you understand such things? Why do you get some of the mystery? You say, well, I don't know them all completely. Well, I understand that, but you're learning, you're growing. But why do you get what you get? Do you understand? The point I'm making here is Jesus was saying, you're blessed if you can see. How blessed are you tonight that you can see any of this? Well, I get a lot of that, Pastor. What are you talking about? Praise the Lord. Your eyes can see. Who opened your eyes? You didn't. Behold, it's been given to you. It's been given to you to know or to see the mysteries of the kingdom. The world would actually be bored at such things or hearing such things because they don't understand those things. But why are we different? Who's made us to desire to even see? Who's made us desire to even want to pray, Lord, open my eyes or open my ears? The answer lies in what Jesus told Peter when Jesus confessed, or when Jesus, Peter confessed to Jesus that he knew who he was. And Jesus said this, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father which is in heaven. I mean, if we know who Jesus Christ is tonight, and if we know the Word of God at all tonight, we are blessed because God has revealed that to us. I actually listened to some time today to this podcast of these guys that were very anti-doctrines of grace, anti-total depravity, very strong against it. And their logic is just so faltered, but yet they use so much Bible. Folks, you need to be able to hear those things and know that those things aren't true. But while I'm listening to it, they were very arrogant in their denouncing of it. When we know the truth, it doesn't make us arrogant. It should make us humble, because when we understand total depravity and God's opened our eyes, we say, thank you, Lord, that I know anything. Now, we're not going to understand everything we read, of course. We read the Word of God. Some things are hard. We still don't get it. Hey, reading through the Old Testament, reading through some of the prophets. Man, I found myself lately reading through some of the minor prophets. I'm like, Lord, help me understand. Help, I want to know more of this, you know. And a lot of things I'm still not getting. And so we're growing in that. And so some things are hard. But just because something's hard, I don't get it, doesn't make me go the opposite direction. But it did with others. I'm not still in this because, you know, I'm getting all of it all the time, you know. People still follow Jesus even when they weren't getting it. But some didn't because they couldn't understand. Many could not follow Jesus because of his hard sayings. They walked away, and Jesus said to his apostles, they said this, He said this, will you also go away? Do you remember that? And Jesus, and Peter spoke up. A good time, Peter spoke up, and he said, Lord, where else will we go? You have the words of eternal life. And and we understand that. You know, we don't understand all the Word of God all the time. Like, we can always grow in that, yes. But just because something's hard, we don't get it. We don't walk away. We still want it. We want to understand. So don't be dull of hearing. You don't know it all yet. Don't be dull of hearing. You don't know it all yet. The Word of God, we need to pray that we just stay in it and we come to understand it more and more, that we don't become dull of hearing. And so praise the Lord tonight. If you can see, if you can know, you understand some, and you want to understand more even when it's hard, even when others walk away for whatever reason, you think, where else could I go? Where else could I go? Lord, you have the words of eternal life. A lot of times I'm reading God's Word and like, man, this is tough. But where else will I go? Where else will I go? Now, back to this parable. Like we said, the key to understanding this whole parable, one, it's important because it somewhat unlocks other parables. But the key to understanding this parable is understanding this one simple basic truth, is that the seed is the Word of God. Once you get that, it just kind of opens up. That's the way a lot of parables are. Once you figure out what something is supposed to represent, You know, it makes perfect sense. And Jesus makes that clear there in Mark chapter 4. He tells us the interpretation of the parable. And there in verse 13, Mark chapter 4 and verse 13, he said, verse 14, the sower sows the word. And so he gives us very clear what the seed is. It is the word of God. And so the word of God is likened here into a seed. Likened to a seed. Now, a seed is amazing, isn't it? I mean, one little seed, what it can produce. What one seed can produce. If it falls in the right ground, if it's watered, cultivated, weeded, taken care of, what a seed can do. What a seed can grow. Now, when we first read this parable, if you were listening to this parable and you're a farmer, you had to, first of all, when you first start hearing it, you have to be thinking, this is one messed up farmer. Right? Who plants seeds like that? Now, you plant them neat, you cultivate the ground, you get the ground ready. You weed out everything, you get the rocks out, you plant them in rows, whatever. I mean, that's how a farmer plants seeds. So when he talks about a man going out to sow seed, they have to be thinking, what in the world is he doing? I mean, why would you throw seed just everywhere? Well, Jesus isn't giving us a lesson on how to grow a garden. He's giving us a lesson on scattering the Word of God. No farmer is going to sow seed like this. He's not going to sow on unplowed ground. He's not going to sow on rocky ground. He's going to get the rocks out, get the thorns out, the weeds out, and do his best to plant it on good soil. But there's a lesson for us to learn in this, because the sower sows the word everywhere. Everywhere. That's what we're supposed to do. Listen, the word of God is going to fall on all kinds of different ground. It's going to fall, you know, on hardened ground, well-trodden ground. It's going to fall on stony ground. It's going to fall on ground that's going to be choked out by the world. Or good ground. But this parable doesn't give us liberty, what Jesus teaches, to sow the seed wherever we want. It's sow the seed everywhere. In other words, we're not to determine if the ground is able to receive it. That's between the ground and God. Between those you're sowing the seed to and the Lord. If I only sowed the seed to those who I thought were ready to receive it, I wouldn't know what I would do. I mean, I don't know who's ready to receive it and who's not. Sometimes people look like they're ready to receive God's word and they're not. Sometimes people don't look like they're ready to receive it and they are. So we sow the seed everywhere. So don't try to figure out if we think people are going to receive it or not. I think I do that sometimes still. I think, well, I think they're ready to hear it. And, you know, sometimes I'm wrong. They're not ready to hear it. So you just can't know those things. You just don't know. Now, somebody says, I just don't want to hear it, you know, walks away. Well, of course, they're not ready. We can't determine if the soil is necessarily ready. We're just here to sow the seed wherever God sends us. When Peter received his vision from the Lord made it clear to him that he was to give the word of God to every creature. Now, we see here, and so that's something to remember in ministry, sow the seed everywhere. Don't try to be the Holy Spirit. You don't have to prepare the ground. You don't have to figure out if people are going to take it. God doesn't leave that up to you, okay? Secondly, the thing we see here about this parable is that the word does not produce fruit everywhere it lands, right? It does not, everywhere it goes, it does not produce fruit. Even on the good ground, it produced fruit, but not as much. Notice in our parable, he'll some 30, some 60, some 100. Even on the good ground, it didn't produce as much in some places as it did the others. And you know what? Even on Christians who are, you know, in the Word of God, sometimes it just seems like some take off more than others. Rhyme or reason? I don't know. I think it has a lot to do with how we receive God's Word, if we're getting the weeds out of our life. If we have an open heart, if you would, ground that's broken, contriteness, and ready to receive God's Word, I think that affects a lot. We'll get into that later. But it didn't produce the same everywhere. It didn't produce at all in the other places. but it didn't even produce as much where it fell on good ground. But you know, here's something to remember in ministry, though, when talking to people about the Word of God, that we need to remember. The Lord is pleased when we sow the Word of God, no matter whether anybody receives it or not. You know, if I only sowed the seed of God's Word when I knew people were going to receive it, one, I wouldn't get it right. Two, I would never do it. And God, we have to do it because it pleases the Lord. So people aren't listening, but it pleases the Lord. And 2 Corinthians 2, 14 through 16 says this, "Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ and makes manifest the savor of His knowledge by us in every place. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ in them that are saved and in them that perish." He's saying, listen, when we're doing the ministry and we're sowing the Word of God in this ministry, it's a sweet savor unto the Lord whether people are saved or whether they perish. It pleases the Lord. And so we have to do it for that purpose, that it pleases the Lord. He says, "To the one we are a savor of death unto death, to the other savor of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things? For we are not as many which corrupt the Word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God speak we in Christ." People are not going to respond the same when we share the Word of God. It's our responsibility to share it, to give it. Seasoned with grace, of course, as we are taught in the Word. We're not to corrupt the Word, Paul says. We don't try to change it so people will receive it. You know, well, I think they'll receive it if I just, you know, change it a little bit. Give the Word of God. We're to spread the Word when given opportunity, and the results are between God and the soil. We are successful whether people take it or not. And we have to remember that as individuals and as a church. Because I think even when we get involved in gospel ministry, we're sharing the Word of God with our community. If the only thing that's going to keep us motivated is if we see a lot of people saved and a lot of people making professions of faith, that'd be great if it happens. And I believe it can happen. But that can't be the one thing that motivates us. That can encourage us, and it can motivate us, but we have to be motivated by a passion for the Word of God, for the gospel, that we want to give it to people. Because why? Because that's what God uses to bring forth life. That's why we should sow the seed. God uses His Word. Now, very quickly, we'll try to cover some of this tonight in the wayside seed. All right, I don't know how far I can get into this. When you look at this wayside seed mentioned here in chapter 4 here, some fell by the wayside. The wayside there, when I used to always read this, I always thought it kind of like fell out of the way. Like, you know, the wayside there actually doesn't mean that. It actually speaks of a trodden path. When you look it up, it's a path. By the wayside, it speaks of a hardened path, a path well traveled. It's hard. It's hard. We've all seen a path on the ground. You can have good soil, but the ground is very walked on. Like, you can have good soil in a garden and everything's growing real good, but you can have a path going right through your garden where you can keep walking the same way back and forth over and over, and that ground gets hard. Well, then you throw seed just on top of that. Is that going to grow? It's not going to grow. Because it's been walked on so much. It's actually good soil. But it's hard on top. As I thought about this, I think about how many people, you know, are out there that are really, if we might use this illustration, they've been walked on a lot. They've been walked on a lot. They've been hurt a lot. And you talk to them long enough, you find this out. Maybe they've been walked on and abused by people, maybe by parents, spouses, pastors, churches, co-workers. You just find out they've had a hard life, and a lot of things have happened, and they just seem hard. You look at them, you think, man, what good people, you know, in a certain sense, in human standards, but they're just so hard on the outside, and they won't listen to spiritual things, and have kind of a hard exterior to them. Now, in this parable, the varying results we see are not due to the sower or to the seed. The varying results we see are not due to the sower or the seed. The varying results are due to the soil or the ground that it fell upon. That's why you might sow the seed, you know, to a lot of people, and some people respond well, and some people do not. And we need to understand this. But when we look at this parable, and we see this wayside seed by the wayside, this well trodden path, it's a warning to us that we don't become hard. Now, I understand a lot of this is applied, I think, to lost people. But there's something here for us as well. We can become hardened by certain things in our life, even as God's people. You know, the soil's good. The soil's good. But we can come to a place in our life where we're not being very fruitful because we become kind of hard on the outside. If we're not careful, we can allow trials, we can allow disappointments, people, shattered hopes, dreams, whatever, make us hard where we're not opening up ourselves to the Word of God. And we got to be careful of that when we come to God's Word that we're not like that. You know, Jesus seen the hardness of heart that some had. He seen their hardness of heart. And when they were just upset because He was healing people on the Sabbath. I read that. I read how upset they got, how mad they got at Him healing on the Sabbath. I'm like, wow. That's crazy. They're mad. They're angry. They literally wanted to kill Him because He healed somebody on the Sabbath. It's a warning to us that we can become so hard and entrenched in our traditions and way of thinking to where we won't even listen to Jesus when He does something great right in front of us. So we got to be careful of that. People who are very religious can be very hard. Sometimes those are the hardest ones to talk to. When you're ministering the Word of God, you'll find some people are actually good, if you would, you know. They're not immoral people, you know, good and relative speaking. Moral people, but very hard on the outside because they're hardened by their religion. Or people that have just been walked on by different things in life. But what happens to this seed that falls on this hard ground? Jesus tells us what happens. Satan comes and immediately takes the Word of God away. Immediately takes the Word of God. And so here we learn something about the ministry that we're involved in and sharing the Word of God. Satan wants to come right behind us and take it away, right? That's what he's wanting to do. Now, I know this, that whenever my heart is not right, maybe it's hardened for various reasons, the Word of God is not sinking in. It's like kind of like when you close a book, you're done. You know, you come to church, maybe you're in there and you're done. We're just not letting it sink in. I think there's ways to prepare your heart so that you get more out of God's Word. Even before you open it up, like I said, I mean, pray, confess sin, ask God to soften your heart. Hosea 10:12 says, "Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till He comes and rains righteousness on you." You know, we must come to the Word, seeking the Lord, asking God to soften our heart. And whether we're hardened by life, hardened by pride, hardened by religion, that God would help us to humbly receive His Word. There's something to learn from this as well, and hearing God's Word, that when we don't at first understand God's Word, because that's what we see in Matthew 13:19, it says, because they didn't understand it. Just because you don't understand something at the beginning, don't give up on that. Pray about it. Seek the Lord. Ponder it. Think about it. Meditate on it. Pray about it. And I think too many times when you're just reading God's Word, I know I've been guilty of this, I don't get it. You know why I don't get that verse or two? I just keep on reading. Well, why not pause for a little bit? Why not think for a little bit? Why not pray a little bit? Instead of just reading on to something, you know. Stop and meditate. Don't worry about making sure you get all your chapters read. Be more concerned about understanding what you read. Be more concerned about understanding what you read. I'd rather I'd rather you read one chapter and understand the whole chapter than read three chapters and not really get it. Right? So pray about that. You know, have your heart ready to receive God's Word. Ponder it. Think about it. Read it again. Pray for understanding of the Word. And know that just because you don't understand it as well, it does not make it true. There's a lot of things I've read and I thought, Lord, I don't understand that, but I believe it because that's what it says. So I pray the Lord will help us to have hearts that are ready to hear His Word, not be hardened for any reason, and know that when you do ministry, when you share the Word of God, some people will quickly dismiss it because they don't understand it. But share the Word of God anyway. It's not you. It's not you. It's their relationship to God is not right. That's why they're not receiving the Word. And whenever we're not receiving the Word of God, it's because our relationship at the moment is not right with the Lord. So don't quit spreading the Word. Don't quit taking in the Word. And pray the Lord to have your heart ready to receive it. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I ask, Lord, that you would use this lesson tonight for your honor and for your glory. Father, I pray that as we continue to look at this for the next couple more weeks, that you would bless. And Father, I just pray that your people be encouraged, Lord, to come to your Word with open heart. Every time they open it, every time they hear it, Lord, that we wouldn't be hardened because maybe we think we already know it. Maybe we can't hear it because we already think we know it. We can be hardened for so many reasons, or we can just think we, Lord, already know so much, or we can be hardened because we've had a rough week and we're thinking about those things, we just don't let the Word of God sink in. Father, if it's going to be fruitful, Lord, it's got to go in us. So help us, Lord, not to reject it, and help us to receive it. May it be watered, Lord, by prayers. May it be watered, Lord, by meditation. May your Spirit take it and bring forth much fruit. Lord, because if we're not being fruitful in our life, if we're not bearing fruit, it's because we're not receiving your Word. So help us to understand that as we look at this the next few weeks. In Jesus' name, and amen. All right.